You think you know about relationships, but you're wrong. Listen, there's no magic bullet. I'm teaching life skills.
When you're sick, you need medicine. It don't always taste good.
Nah.
But it'll get you better.
You
need this medicine.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna always taste good. But this is what you need. Men and women, bottom line, we need to have the conversation. Your partner wants to give up control, but only if you know how to drive. This is about being the best you could ever be. Whoever you are, I don't care if you're a man, a woman, LGBTQ, space aliens. I'll save anybody. I don't care. I'll teach a hedgehog how to have a threesome.
What do you mean by that?
Look, you don't have to listen to me, but you're wrong.
Listen, I know I'm great. And I know you're thinking, Dante, there's no way I could be like you. But you could be me, you know why?
Because you know who I was? Before I was me, I was you. You.
Man score 202.
Better hear what I've got to say because you won't get it again.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man.
Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. This is going to be a good one. This is a special show, Harry. I don't know if you've heard.
I did hear. Now, you said that before.
I might have said that 400 times before, but this time I really mean it. Finally.
Some honesty. You don't have to lie for a change.
Exactly. Rock and roll.
You know I'm good, Dante. I'm having a tough time keeping these gators down, but otherwise, why would you ask me that? I'm doing phenomenal. How dare
ask,
you?
How just, dare you? I know I have a couple of our clients that listen to us curse me out when I ask them how they're doing.
When they're doing well, they start going, what the fuck is that?
What do you mean by that, right? So, Andre's running a little late.
He will be with us.
But he's on his way. He's doing a lot of artsy shit now. Photography and sculpture and,
in between,
you know,
push-ups and dips.
Growing weeds in his ass, all kinds of,
and like, mixing protein powder.
So, why don't you do the honors and do the introductions?
Well, I will. We are lucky enough to have a person who is, I would say she's going to be the ultimate wing girl. She has the flirtmethod.com. She helps men become more attractive to women, and she coaches everybody on that. Marnie the Wing Girl, everybody. Give it up for Marnie the Wing Girl.
Good up, Marnie.
Hi, guys.
Thank you for coming on. This is going to be good. You know why? I have a philosophy about lady wing girls. I say never ask a woman any relationship advice. That's my.
I hear you. I agree with that. Most women have no idea what they're talking about and give horrible advice.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Perfection. Wow. Well, thank you, everybody. This has been a great podcast.
It's a good podcast. We're just going to shut it down. You want to do your plugs?
Exactly. Don't listen to me. But I'll tell you something. Most women give advice from a, they don't mean to do it, but it's from a selfish place for themselves, because they advise men, but in their mind, they're thinking about men that they're already attracted to. So that advice that they're putting out there isn't for men who are my clients or for men who potentially listen to this podcast. Right. They're for men who are already getting the attraction and have the success with women.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's funny you say that, because I put it a little different. I said, if you want to know how to hunt deer, you ask the hunter, not the deer.
Yeah. Oh, so, trust me. I get that statement on my YouTube channel all the time. Don't ask a fish how to catch a fish. I get it. I totally understand. Right. As I said, most women are bad at it.
And you know, I think that there's always exceptions to the rule. I think that, you know, that takes a level of empathy to see it from somebody else's perspective who for the most part, you know, doesn't have that experience. It takes a lot of empathy and to look at it from somebody else's perspective and say, if I was in this perspective, these are the obstacles and stuff that I would have to deal with.
Yeah, so, well, even as a woman, to be ego-free and say out loud the things that you're actually attracted to that may potentially make you sound superficial, they're not things that women want to be announcing all the time. So that's more challenging for women. And on the flip side, it's really difficult to understand men and the position that men that are listening to this show or men that I work with, what they're going through on a day-to-day basis, because a lot of women have a different perception of men. They think of men who are players, men who are jerks, men who are constantly leaving them or leading them on. So they don't see this whole other side of unbelievable, awesome men who have a little bit lower confidence with women and who don't have the comfort levels to do the things that these other guys do.
Well, I think also, you know, when a lot of times you have women who are pursuing these guys who are, you know, what they call players, because they're picking those guys. Yeah. And a lot of times they don't have the value to step up to those guys in the first place. And so a guy who's accustomed to being, you know, having women attracted to or having women approach them, and then you're, you know, you're a five and you're like, oh, I'm going to give him. And he's like, yo, you want some free pussy? And he was like, yeah, I'll take some. And then all of a sudden she, in her mind, she's created this relationship. What up, Dre?
Hi.
Hey, Andre.
She's created this whole movie in her head about how she thinks this is going to play out and never even considered that he don't like you. He's not that into you.
He's just not like, that into you.
I'm going to make him like me because I'm going to do all my tricks that I know of as a woman to change that around. And we become fixated on these guys as challenges for us. Oh, yeah, I agree with everything that you're saying. Totally.
And then the ego comes into play where because of her ego and the fact that she doesn't even know if she really likes this guy. It becomes more about the
challenge. Most often they don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She doesn't like him. And now it becomes about the pursuit. And then as long as he doesn't fall victim to the pursuit, she'll never even question whether she really likes him in the first place, because it's not the point. It's about the win. And so removing the ego is really important. It's interesting you said that. Okay. Give me an idea of what kind of advice you would get. Andre, do I need to fill you in on what's going here?
Yeah. Women need to know what type of man that they want. And then the dudes got a little bit of confidence. And they need more confidence.
All
right. That's true. That's fair.
There you go, baby.
There, summed up. There we go. Show's over.
All right, let's shut it down. Oh, let's do the plugs and go again.
Let's do the plugs again. Let's wrap up the team.
I'm
right
here for you,
Marnie.
Fam. You know what I'm saying?
Marnie, can I ask you, how do you get into being a wing girl? Like, how does this come about for you? How did this
I was happen? Drunk at a rabbi's house and I made a joke after having a very successful night of introducing men to women and helping them get numbers and get the attraction that they've always wanted. So I went to the singles mixer and I did not like anybody there. So I chose to help the guys that were there go up and approach women, help them start conversations. When it was going well, I would leave.
That's hilarious.
I would get the feedback afterwards. Mm. And then I came home and I was a little bit tipsy. And I said to my roommate, I loved what I did. This was so much fun. I want to be a wing girl for guys. I want to tell them what women want. And he's like, no way. Guys will never want that service. Exactly what you said before. Like, they don't want to ask a fish how to catch the fish or whatever.
No, I don't think that guys won't do it. I just think that for the most part, they shouldn't do it, because most women don't have the empathy and can't remove the ego to look at it from a perspective. I mean,
and that was his exact point of view as well. He's like, guys don't want this. You'd have to like throw in sexual favors in order for them to pay you to give them any advice. That's what he said, which I actually was glad that he said all of that, because I don't like hearing the word no. If he just said yes, I would have laughed about the idea and never thought about it again. Mm-hmm. He said no, and I said, I don't think you're right. I went into my room, posted an ad on Craigslist, 1:30 in the morning. By the next morning, I had over 75 guys who were interested in this concept, because at that time it didn't exist. And so I started. And then the first 6 months, it was a live interactive service. I had 23 girls working with me, and we went out with men in teams of two, and we helped pick up women for men. But then I started to notice that most of these men really wanted a lot of information from us. They didn't have the basic skills down. Like you were talking before about other guys who are really good with women. They've built up this
It's definitely a 10,000 hour thing.
Yeah, I just read that book. That's funny that you just mentioned it. But like
Malcolm Gladwell. Yeah, you know, 10,000 hours.
They have that. And the guys that I was going out and coaching didn't have that basic level. Either they didn't have a good father figure, or they didn't have lots of guy friends who were successful with women. They didn't have that example to learn from. And they didn't also have an understanding of women. So they ended up asking me tons of questions. And then I learned from that experience that I needed to provide them with the basics first. And then that's how my company started. And it's been
now,
17.
What's the, how many years?
17.
Wow. Wow. And that's what you do full time now.
That's what I do full time. I've worked with hundreds of thousands of men all over the world.
That's dope.
And I tell them what women want.
Now, did you start with, was this like a Jewish mixer, or I heard you said something? Oh, okay. Okay. So, now here's
hence the
thing.
Rabbi. It would have been really
hence
awkward.
Hence the rabbi. No, he could have been hanging out. Yeah. Well, now here's the thing. Like Jewish guys that I've consulted, because I mean, I've been consulting with guys for much less time, because I would just give it away. Like I used to give, like I would be in a place, and somebody would be like, their body posture would be, and I'm like, yo, come here.
Oh, that's amazing.
Like, what are you doing? Like, what
is that?
And I kept, you know, I would do that. Harry would, you know, like I would just, Harry will say, I'll hear somebody say happy life, happy wife. And I'll go, I got, come here. I need to talk to you. And so.
Yeah. All the time on the street.
I love that. Wherever.
And that had to be, as long as you've known me, right, huh? I mean, definitely long as Dre know me, right?
For sure. I mean, that's how we started. If we just go from the time we just started the podcast, before that, it's been 9 years of helping people.
Wow. Yeah.
And I'm sure you were helping people before that.
Yeah. I mean, I was a male stripper for 10 years. Oh, and wow. So I had that. I had to understand you in order to understand female attraction. Mm-hmm. If you can't understand it, you don't eat, you know.
Yeah.
And then I managed a few ladies on an escort side. And so I had to deal with the relationships of that and the aspect of that. So.
So you get the psychology of it. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, practical, you know, the practicals. I mean, if you go to a therapist and they talk, yeah, okay, he's learned, but he don't have the case study that I literally was in it. So, it was just something that I always did, and I didn't think it was something I could do until we started to do it. And even after the podcast, I just was doing it for free. I was just giving it away. So I know, which is, I probably should have met you 17 years ago.
Right. No, but honestly, that gave you your base. In the very beginning, I felt like I was giving it away. I had people who would pay for a 3-hour outing with me for a very minimal cost. I would end up being with them for 7 hours because I loved it.
What do you charge for something like that? Like a 3-hour outing?
So now I really don't do them very much anymore. Most of my stuff is online, but I charge $3,000 for 3 hours.
An hour, three. That's great. That's great to go out with them. I you know, it's an interesting thing because I just don't want to go out with nobody. You know what I mean?
That's why I don't do it anymore. Like I have two children now and a husband. I'm like, I fall asleep by 9 o'clock. I have other girls who now go out with people and do that stuff.
But you have plenty of information and stuff.
Oh gosh,
on
yes.
YouTube
and
all over the place.
I keep up to date with my information. I do a podcast once a week. I interview 5 different women every single week, different ages, different races, different places that they live. So I can keep up with what's going on in the dating space.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you really think it's that it's really that different? I mean, I understand that in terms of like social media, in terms of dating apps and stuff, those things change. But the basic principles is all the same.
Absolutely all the same. I don't know. Did you ever read the book by David Buss called The Evolution of Desire?
No, I've never read
that.
It's
a really good book. So I'm totally gonna quote this incorrectly, but you'll get the gist of what I'm gonna say. But so he went around the world and he would research tons of different cultures about what attraction meant to them, mainly women. So he went to tribes in Africa. He went to New York City. He went to China, like all over the world, looking to see what the basic fundamentals were for attraction. And he found there was a collective of, I think it's like 10 different things that build up attraction for women. And they're standard. They are a standard across the world. There were a few different variations based on different societies, but most of them all fell into the exact same categories and all ranked them in the same order as well.
So
it's
what were some of those things?
Oh God, it's intelligence, social proof, social circle, Status was one of them. I haven't read that book in so long, but like I forgot what the other ones were, but they're the basics. So like what you were talking
about. What's the name of the book again?
It's called The Evolution of Desire by David Buss. So he's a professor at Harvard or in Boston. I somewhere else. I forget.
I always love when those professors get fed up with studying medicine and go, you know what? I've had enough.
I'm going to write a book on how to fuck.
Yeah. I've had enough of looking at this microscope.
Well, you know,
with all these new platforms. Yeah.
Well, like I had a lot of practical kind of knowledge, but the thing that really kind of flipped me, I read, we actually had him on the show, was
Christopher Ryan, Sex at Dawn.
He wrote this book called Sex at Dawn. And it really deals with the instinctual aspect of attraction, like on a real visceral level, which is something I haven't read it in a long time, but so you find out kind of that there's this, I don't have to tell you, but there's a subtext in everything that you do. There's this subtext. You are communicating even when you think you're not communicating. Everything that you do, your true personality permeates everything that you do. So especially, and it's got a lot of Jewish guys that I've had, they are the worst. Not worse, no, Indian dudes maybe worse than Jewish.
You're saying
guys.
As far as dating, lack of dating skills.
Well, because culturally,
it's the anxiety and the pressure. That's where it comes for both of them. It's from their moms,
right? The mom, and it's this expectation, and then there's also this thing about you don't have to worry about social. Go to school, get your education, get your degrees, make your money. And what's interesting is that, like, the same way that you learn how to study and learn to be productive and learn how to handle money or learn how to handle business or engineering or whatever, you still need your 10,000 hours socially. So if you don't have
especially today, way more than before, because like in the past. So I coach men all over the world who are not just Jewish guys. That's what I started with in the beginning.
Right. Yeah, I understood but I was just saying, difficult.
Yeah. But for those cultures specifically, like, it's sort of outdated because society's grown up differently. Like in the past, it was right. Okay, grow up, be a doctor, and then you're successful. You'll get the women. It's fine. Right. It doesn't work like that anymore.
No.
Your social proof and the way that you interact and integrate with other people is actually what elevates you to that other level. You can be a great doctor, but you can be the greatest doctor if your social skills are on point.
Right. Absolutely. Here's what give me an idea of like what on a fundamental level, how you would start, like how do you start from the beginning? Like if you get a guy who's really
out what's going on with them, and I figure out what their struggles are. So some guys come to me and they have an issue with one woman that they've been hung up on for 3 years. Some guys come to me and they have an issue with all women in the sense that they put themselves up out there as much as possible. But they don't get any reactions or responses from women. So they cast a wide net. They have very little confidence in themselves, very small view of their own self-worth, and they get nothing back, which is obvious that they would get nothing back. So it's different for every single guy, but there's like a few different prototypes of the guys that come to me. But
give me an idea of the prototypes that you like, you know.
Yeah, it's the guy who's super successful, who can speak in front of a room of 500 people, but can't go up to a woman and approach her and ask her for her phone number. It's another guy who is Mr. IT, who's very technical and logical, who has difficulty talking to women because as soon as he goes up and talks to her, his brain turns to mush and he can't think of a single thing to say. Mm-hmm. It's the guy who doesn't have any experience with women and who is 36 years old and is kind of frightened of women because he's ultimately afraid of rejection. It's the guy that constantly gets thrown into the friend zone because he doesn't know that it's okay to put your sexuality out there. So again, those are the guys that I work with. And so each of them come with me with different issues or different things that they want to work on. And then I send them on different paths based on what their needs are.
What do you find is the most common mistake that guys make?
They do not go after what they want. They do not ask for what they want. They try to cover it up and hide it. Or they're not clear on what they want. So they'll take anything that they can get.
They settle. They settle.
Yes. Or they settle for being lonely because they're doing it all wrong. Yes, absolutely. Or they settle for a bitchy woman.
It's interesting because they'll also they don't think they're worthy of what they don't think they're worth. They're worthy of what they're asking for.
Yeah, because their evidence is that women reject them. So, okay, I'm going to take any woman I can get. She can treat me horribly and disrespect me on a constant basis. And it's fine because I'm not going to get anything else.
And also, as he lets this woman treat her disrespectfully, she loses attraction for him. Every time he allows that to happen, she finds him a little less attractive each time. Yeah. And so it's an interesting cyclical dynamic that happens where you really, it's almost like they're working against themselves. The other thing that I think is really interesting is, you know, how do you teach confidence? Do you know what I mean? Because ultimately that's what you got to do.
Yeah. Well, you teach confidence by first helping people figure out who they are. And I know that's so unsexy and it's not like, oh, like this is the magic pill to getting me attraction from women. But as you just said before, when you were describing yourself, like, first of all, you were a stripper, so you're already super confident with your body. And then you started to like look at women, acknowledge women, listen to women, figure out women. You had the experience there. But during that time, I'm guessing you were also figuring yourself out. Who am I? Who can I be to these women? How can I communicate with them so that they respond to me?
Well, you know what's interesting even about that? Guys who I know who were strippers, right? People always think that there's this caveat that it kind of works out that way. And it really doesn't, because what happens is the strippers they have access to so many women. And because they have access, there's a confidence that comes with the fact of having options, right?
Yeah.
The minute they stop stripping, there is no options. And then they are the worst because they
don't know what to do without that platform. So I help people build up their own platform. So like, again, very unsexy. But first, you figure out who you are, what your values are, what you want, what you'll allow, what your boundaries are with women, what the rules are to be with you. Mm-hmm. And then you figure out what kind of women you want in your life. You figure out who you want to be surrounded by, how you want to feel when you're around those women. Knowing those things instantly, it takes a while to get those things to mean something to you.
Yeah.
Right away, they provide confidence for you. Because again, you're not casting that wide net. You're saying, no, I'm not going to allow a woman to talk to me like that. So therefore, I'm not going to date you. That builds confidence up over time. And then in tandem with that, I'm pushing them into social interactions that make them like slightly uncomfortable every single day so that they can
get used to it.
Yeah, work that confidence muscle and build it. It's exactly what I did. I used to be very shy, very insecure, very uncomfortable, total overanalyzer. I'm Jewish. I have to be totally overanalyzing everything every second. But what I did for myself was when I was backpacking when I was younger, I was with my best friend who was super outgoing. She would go outside, come back with 10 new friends. I couldn't do the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. I couldn't figure out how to speak. And so I pushed myself to go out every single day and speak to 20 people, literally just say hi to them. And then I was allowed to go home. And it took me 2.5 hours the first day I had to do it. And I was a cute girl, a cute 23-year-old girl going out and saying hi. Like nobody was going to slap me or punch me or throw a drink in my face. And I had difficulty for 2.5 hours. It took me to complete that mission. The next day I went back out, it took me 1.5 hours. The next day I went back out, it took me 30 minutes. The next day I went back out, I was done in 10 minutes. And then I went to that next hurdle.
It's interesting because I have a similar kind of technique. What I do is I call it, so it came from an analogy that I did. It's I say you got to lay 5 bricks a day. So
the
analogy was that if you go in your backyard and you lay 5 bricks, you take cement and you lay 5 bricks, right? At the end of the year, you will have a huge wall, and the wall doesn't care whether you enjoyed it or you didn't enjoy it, whether you were excited, whether you were inspired, but there's a wall. And because you've done it so many times, the bricks at the top are done much better than the bricks at the bottom, because you just through repetition, you come through the. So it also gets to the point where I'll make a commitment. I'll make the guy make a commitment to talk to 5 women every day.
I love it.
With no
expectation.
No expectation.
No agenda.
I don't want you to get the number. I don't want you to. I don't even want you to just talk to the pretty women. I want you to the ones you find unattractive, an old lady or this. And so that becomes.
Yeah, you got to start at the bottom first and work your way up. I love that. That's what I do.
And then it becomes such a chore right? That so I do five women a day for 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. When the by the time the second week is gone by, right? So the second week, it's something. It comes out to something like 85 women, or 35 women a day. It's like 70 women in 2 weeks. You're more into the fact that you, so this is interesting about men, because men have the, you know, the, when you say that women are, a lot of times women can't remove the ego and see the empathy to give advice. What's interesting is that you never hear the terminology, a woman of her word. So and I'm not saying that there's not women that keep that, that don't keep their word, but there's no expectation. The expectation of being fickle and fluid is accepted. Yeah. So what's interesting, but a guy, that's a big thing for, you know, if you're not a man of your word, then how are you a man? And it's, and so the commitment that they make me, the word, I make them give me their word that they'll do five a day. And then it becomes more about the commitment that they made to me than what they're actually doing, which allows them to remove themselves emotionally from the anxiety. And it becomes, oh, I got Dante's going to jump on my shit if I don't.
Right.
And
I got then, a task.
And then it's a task. And then, and what happens is that task becomes more about me than about them, which is weird because they're trying to get a date. And then they are able to be more of themselves. They become more natural in their self and more confident in their own self because it becomes about the task as opposed to
And they're doing it within a community as well. So therefore it becomes fun. It's not this daunting task that they're doing by themselves where they feel like a big freak. They're doing it as a part of a team.
That's now, when you say out of a team, what do you take a few guys?
I mean, I'm saying you and him.
Oh, you're, yeah. All right.
Together,
right.
You're a team and you're trying to accomplish something. And that's something that men are, I mean, men and women are really good at doing it, but men and women, I mean, sorry, men specifically are really great at doing that. Like having something that they're trying to accomplish and complete, having a goal and achieving it. And exactly what you said, when you distract from the task at hand, which freaks them out by themselves.
Yeah.
And you make it fun and engaging and as part of a team, like we're buddies now doing this together. Right. That makes it easier for them to do and accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah. It's initially. And then once the anxiety is overcome, then you gotta build. The other thing is I find that the insecurity that is there is their personal insecurity. And women, a lot of times women are not even interested. They're not even aware of this insecurity that you have. Because if you think about it, every woman, I would say this to guys all the time. You talk to a woman and she dates you, right? How does she know you? And guys are like, you know, maybe she could tell. I go, no, you tell her who you are. You tell her what your value is and so on and so forth. So it's interesting that when you have low self-esteem and you don't think that you have value, you also communicate that.
Yeah, because you don't know who you are and you don't know how to communicate it properly because you're trying to adjust it for somebody else's benefit.
Right.
So it's not going to come across properly and sincere.
And it's also interesting because when you speak about the instinctual aspect of this, which I think I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but you know, when deceptiveness to a woman, indecisiveness is perceived as deceptive. Dangerous. It's perceived as deceptive. So if you're indecisive, it's like, why are you not telling me? I know there's more to this. And so now a woman has to constantly think about this all the time is who's the guy who every time a woman goes out with a guy, she has to consider whether she could be raped or killed. I mean,
pregnant. Absolutely.
Any number of things could happen, but your indecisiveness is read as indeceptive, being deceptive. Deceptive is read as dangerous, and dangerous is read as like I gotta get out. I don't even want to hear what you have to say. You make me feel uncomfortable, and a lot of times
that's
they don't
interesting because that was a point I used to make a long time ago that I totally forgot about. Like she's reading it in her own way. So if you're nervous, you're jittery, you're like wishy washy, you're all over the place, you're not really giving answers, you're just asking questions. She's not gonna say, oh, that's so sweet, he's so nervous. She's gonna say, get me the hell away from this guy.
Sure. Yeah,
he makes me feel uncomfortable. Yeah. If you feel uncomfortable, she's gonna feel uncomfortable.
And I think the other thing is the empathy from the guy to understand that, okay, I'm nervous and stuff, but what am I really communicating? Like, you have to teach the empathy to go, if look, my intention is not to communicate this. And so it's interesting because in the whole Me Too era, guys are like, oh, you can't say anything. And I go, that's so not true.
You can say everything.
You just got to be honest.
So much more now. That's the wonderful thing, because it's given room for all this communication, because people are trying to be more respectful and more clear with each other. So even for guys that I work with, I tell them to announce the elephant. Because for me, if I say out loud, I'm really nervous right now. So most podcasts that I get onto, right away, I'll say I'm nervous, because that I don't, instead of trying to cover it up in some way for myself, that's going to come across as insecure, or exactly what you just said, indecisive, wishy-washy. But if you say I'm kind of nervous, it's endearing, it's human, and then you can relate to it, move past it, and then you can talk more freely. So if some guy is nervous about kissing a girl, you can say, oh, I'm thinking about kissing you. I'm a little bit nervous to do it. Like that can be genuine and authentic and sincere.
And it can be it's attractive too. It's
and attractive and super sexy.
I had a guy that's pretty famous, and I consult him, and he said, you know, and he was doing my program, and then he started really feeling himself, and then something, well, kind of shut down where he wasn't laying the five bricks, and he goes, man, I seen this girl. She was on the train and she was looking at me and I was looking at her, and it was almost like she was looking at me like, come on, do it. Like, like, come on, bag me up. Like, come on, I'm giving you the, and he just couldn't
do it.
So it's interesting. I say this all the time, that fear exists between when the opportunity is presented and how long it takes you to access the opportunity.
Oh, I love that.
The longer you take to access the opportunity, the more the fear grows, and then ultimately it paralyzes you. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, he says, yeah, I mean, she just kept looking at me like, bag me up.
Funny that he knew that as well. Yeah. Like that he wasn't translating it for himself as, oh, don't approach me, I'm not into you. Like he said, you're giving me a green light, I'm paralyzed and I can't do it. That's crazy.
And I said to him, what if you had just went to him, it's like, I really want to hit on you, but I'm nervous. And he goes, do you not understand how attractive that is to a woman, that you're saying that her beauty or the aura that she presents is so powerful that it frightens me a little bit. And to say that makes you not frightened of it. You know what I mean?
Even the way that you just said that is super sexy. I would be responsive to any guy who said that. And that also empowers the person saying it, because you get comfortable afterwards because you're saying it out loud, right?
Like, damn, shorty, I'm scared of you.
Sexy.
Andre did a dance. He like, yo, for real, I want to talk to you.
The scariest bitch I ever seen.
Yo, I'm saying your beauty is like, you got me twisted. Word. So
I'm you right now.
But it's like, and then when I said to him, do you understand how that is perceived? How that would be perceived by her? That not only are you're honest, because every woman, you know, honesty, it breeds that safety. But the honesty in the fact of your vulnerability makes you not vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Like, to represent that and to say that is something that's
you can't continuously say that. Like, you can say that first to calm yourself down, and then you got to get the confidence back up afterwards. You can't just be like, oh, now I can't answer your question because you're still intimidating me. Then it's like, get the echo. I don't know if I can swear. Okay, but like, get away.
I let you in.
Yeah,
you're in,
and now you've ruined it.
Ticket to ride. Now you're going.
Yeah,
then you be like, yo, you be running. I love how you run. You've been running through my mind all day. You're like, ugh, beat it.
And then she's like, no, I'm getting off at this stop. I never want to see you again. Totally.
Yeah, it's an interesting, really interesting.
Marnie, you've been doing, you said this for about 17 years now.
Mm-hmm.
What is the biggest change? I mean, I feel like this generation is massively different. What are the biggest changes you've seen in dating?
I mean, obviously social media has come into play. So that is that's the biggest change that I've, and online dating and app dating, that's the biggest change. So there's way more insecurities. There's way more people who treat other people like just ghosts in a virtual space that they can treat horribly. So there's a lot more people.
When you explain that, what do you mean in terms of like
I just mean that when you're on a dating app, nobody's real until you see them in person. When you have a face-to-face interaction, you're like, you're a real person. I can't really be a full jerk to you. I can be a semi jerk to you and tell you I have a boyfriend and I'm not interested. connected, yeah. but online, you can chat with them, ghost them for 3 weeks, come back to them again, talk to them for 2 seconds, ghost them again. Like, you can do a lot of things. So I just think that either there's thicker skin that's been built up for people who... What?
What'd you say, Dre?
I did that ghosting shit a bunch.
I exactly, but
Dre,
like, so
you a piece of shit.
It wasn't never intentional. It was just I just forget.
Yeah, Dre literally.
It just happens. Everybody does it.
That's not really ghosting, though.
I was just talking. I was talking to my aunt who is like in her 60s, and she dates online, and she ghosts. She's the sweetest person. Everybody ghosts. It just happens because they you just think these are just like not real people, and you can just like say, I don't want to talk to you anymore.
I don't know. Let me ask you this. Do you really think it's ghosting if you forgot? I don't think that's ghosting is sort
of
an
to the person who's not getting the response. It doesn't
matter. They're like, where did you go? Right. Yeah, it's ghosting. Yeah. We had a 4-hour conversation last night. Yeah. Where did you go? Why?
And if you have a general
conversation on the internet, hell the fuck no.
No.
No, who's doing these things? Why?
Lots of people, it's not a good
idea.
Great.
I mean, that's how I met.
Go play a video game, dude. The fuck's your problem?
Dre, we've been on for almost 40 minutes now, and you've only said 8 words since we've been on.
Because
Sunday.
I was being respectful. Y'all was being all technical, talking about people's struggles and stripes, and I don't give two shits about it, so I can't say
Jesus.
Nothing.
But I've met several women online, and the girl I'm with now, my girl,
no,
I met
didn't
her
say
online
you can't
completely.
Meet a person online. I'm talking about just being.
You're talking
on
about
it,
wasting 4 hours
chatting,
being a pen pal with somebody and not
chatting?
Having anything. Yeah.
I don't know. I've made some good connections.
How long would you say you move from line to, you know, when can I see you? Like
pretty
in
much.
Your, not you, Dre. Not we're not talking about you. You do it. You go to their house and ring their bell. Well, how long would you say?
I mean, if you're talking for longer than 4 days online without having a next plan of having either a virtual call or a meeting in person, then you're
that's
wasting your time.
Right.
It's far too drawn out. And it also depends what age category you're in. So if you're younger, if you're like in your 20s, then you take like 1, maybe 2 days chatting online, and then you escalate to that next level. If you are in your 30s or 40s, single parent, you take a little bit longer because
and why
you
would
you
say
as often?
Are you saying just for logistics reasons?
Just because time. I just don't. That people are not using it as often. But I think like the thing is, you know, when you click with somebody, you know when you want to take something to that next level.
Yeah.
And you do it. And if you're unsure of it, then you also take it to that next level. So if you're chatting with somebody, you're like, I'm not really sure if I like this person. Great. Stop wasting your time or go hop on a phone call. Go hop on a virtual call and see, am I attracted to them? Do I like them in 3D? Then you can make the decision, and then don't waste your time meeting them in person.
Yeah, yeah. It's a weird thing when you find guys a lot of times, they think that the girl is doing them a favor. They think by giving their time, and the reality is that no woman, I say this all the time, no woman dates a guy who she doesn't think is better than her. Now, better is a relative term.
I agree.
From her perspective.
I agree.
Better is whatever she perceives is better. So I always tell the story. I remember I was like 23 years old and I was dating this, she was like 35, 37. And she was a detective and she had a condo and she had a Benz and a this and that. But with all of that she had, she was still very worried about everything. She made great money. She had a great house. She got a great car. But it was just like, what's next? It was just like Chicken Little. And I had nothing.
Gun?
I was, huh?
She had a gun?
Yeah, she had a 9, the Glock.
Oh, shit.
Yes, son.
Pantsuits and shit.
Pantsuits with the badge on the hip. Mad sexy with the bat and the button down white shirt. You know, like on Law and Order?
Y'all never played Banks and Guns and Robbers and shit?
With thigh highs on, son. Put the gun on and some thigh highs. But we'll talk about that later. I used to pull her in and frisk her. Like, get up there and spread them.
Nice. I found 2 grams on you. You're going down.
Yeah. Dante would do it the wrong way. He'd be like, I need information. I need names.
Bang her head against the wall.
Like, you don't want to know what I did. Look what we have found in here. 9.5 inches. Where did you stuff that? So but it's interesting. What she liked about me in retrospect was that I didn't give a fuck. Like, yeah. I didn't have no money. I didn't have nothing. And I didn't give a fuck. She had everything, yeah. but she worried about everything. And so she liked the fact that I was just, yo, it'll be fine. Like, any one of the yeah. things that she thought was
you
a crisis.
You had something she wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. And so in her mind,
that goes back to David Buss's stuff of higher value. Like that yeah. is, that is part of social status. That's part of value, perceived social value. You don't give a shit, which means that you can breeze through life a lot easier and different opportunities would come your way. That's attractive to women.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I find is a difficult thing about Indian men and Jewish men is because they give a shit
is they
about
under-
everything. Oh, what'd you say here?
Andre said something. I didn't hear you.
What'd you say?
No, I said I didn't know. I was asking if
yeah, it's because it's culturally, it's yeah. like you gotta. What about you know? It's their mothers yeah. give.
What give a shit it? About what?
Everything.
About the family. The family. What the family will think. What the neighbors will think. Like remember we had Neil Nanda on, and he yeah. talked about how like. How gossipy the entire Indian culture is. Like, you know, the big thing would be like, oh, Rajneesh got a C in his math test. Like, yeah. just everything.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
it's okay. if you
Very
play into that
Jewish
world.
Community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
you decide to live that life. But then when the people are the freest is when they go, oh, I don't give a fuck about that. I'm not doing that no more.
Also immigrant parents are like that. Yeah. It's especially when they come from a culture where it's about survival. And yes. then, you know, our generations becomes more about self-fulfilling happiness and stuff. And when you have like first generation immigrants that come from anywhere, Greece or crazy ass Armenian or whatever the fuck
Absolutely.
You from area.
Whatever. Armenian. It is Armenia. I mean, there's no mystery here. I've announced it.
You and the Kardashians, right?
Yeah.
But that Africans too, Ghanaians and Africans, Nigerians, it's, we don't care what you like. You have to survive. And where there's this whole other perspective now, it's like, Harry, what you were talking about in terms of the difference in culture is yeah. now where, well, what's going to make me happy? What fulfills me? What do I feel good about? And then
that's an American ideal.
Yeah.
Happiness is an American ideal. I remember one time I was talking to my dad. I go, when I was a little kid, because we were supposed to write down what our dreams were for the future. I go,
what'd your dad
when you were a kid, what were your dream? You know, what were your dream? What did you dream you wanted to grow up to be? He goes, dreams. I didn't have a dream.
I know, right?
We didn't have any dreams. I kept pressing him. He goes, one time I had a dream. I was eating a sandwich. Okay, go away.
I don't necessarily agree with that part. The whole
What's
America
that?
Happy, and then back home, you were like begging for food.
What do you mean? Yeah. I don't.
Not
I don't
from my family point.
No,
of view.
They just didn't focus on it. Like I was just watching a show recently where the main character is American and she moves to Paris, and they say the same thing. She's like, we don't give a shit about happiness. Like this is not what we focus on. We work to live. Mm. Not live to work. Like right. Americans lived. Yeah, that's why we're always pursuing happiness because we're working all the time. We don't have time for it.
Dre, you saying what did you what don't you agree? I'm not sure what
no,
you don't.
Harry was saying about like how his dad doesn't view happiness as an American thing. Happiness is for Americans, and it's like my family. You didn't see it that way. When I hear them talk about them coming from Jamaica to here, it was like we came here because we heard this is where they put the money. So we came to get some of the money they put here. I want to go the fuck home. This place right. stink. The food is trash. The traffic trash. The roads trash. Ain't no fucking plants, water, nothing. Give me my money so I can go the fuck home.
Okay, but here's
yes,
it.
But that's
but,
all business.
But that's kind of yeah. the same thing. I
it
mean,
is
it's
not.
It's, no. Wait.
Is completely
I'm not
separate.
No, I'm not saying. That you, I'm not talking. I mean, I think what you're talking about is something to go because they want to. Jamaicans always want to go home. That's why they call it home. They could be here 36 years. Jamaica is still home.
Cause this shit is like you doing a bid, man.
But what I'm saying is the coming here is a utilitarian decision. Like you said, I'm coming here to get the money. You know, after the fact.
Right. There's things to accomplish.
Yeah. There's things that you something to do. I mean, you don't have. Like Jamaican Americans,
it's almost who, like you let go of happiness to come get the money.
Right.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's the utilitarian.
That's different from the idea of happiness is an American thing.
Huh? Huh, fair enough.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Well, the ideal is, yeah, the ideal is. But then again, my family came from a poor country. Armenia was not a rich country, neither was Ecuador.
Ain't no black people over there. It's sad.
That what? I mean, no Dre, you could go over there. You could dominate. You could
be the, we're gonna get you a ticket, Dre.
You could be the Stefan Marbury of Armenia, bro. I mean, literally, you could play for the Armenian national team right now.
Nah, I'm gonna start rapping over there. I ain't shit over here when it comes to rap, but over there, I'll blow the fuck up.
You kill it.
I'll be Armenian Jay-Z.
I don't know if they're gonna have that.
They
got feta cheese and
grape.
Yeah,
they do.
That's their joint.
All right, now I might pull up. I fucked with the feta.
All right. yeah, it's an interesting that how the cultural aspect of it. And I'm quite sure you've been doing it 17 mm-hmm. years, and you start to see these patterns in different cultures that you don't see in other cultures. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And I see the same patterns that you see. Also, like a lot of people who are Asian have the same thing. Like,
yes. Yeah.
Korean. Yeah. They have
Asians,
the same.
Yeah.
I don't want to say insecurities, but they have the same, like, yeah.
It's very, ordered. Very ordered.
Expectation also from family is very present in that culture. Marnie, we get a lot of questions about dating profiles and stuff, mostly like, you know, the apps and stuff. And I know that's not your primary expertise, but what are the things guys can do to improve like their profiles to just do better with dating online? Because that seems to be, especially with the younger generation, a lot of what they're doing.
Well, exactly what you were talking about before, like speaking authentically and uniquely to who that person is the best way to write a profile. So I look at profiles all the time. Again, it's not my area of expertise, but I do get to see a lot of profiles. And so many profiles I find are written by men for the women that they're trying to attract rather than them themselves actually writing a profile about what they want and who they are.
Okay.
So guys forget that they make it like very vanilla and boring so that they can appeal to like the masses, when actually what works better online is when you bring out your uniqueness. You talk about what pertains to you, what makes you different, the things that you like and you want. And same thing in the pictures that guys put up into place. A lot of pictures are taken potentially for the women that they're trying to attract. The pictures they've seen that have the best response, like for a profile picture, are a guy who's in his element looking slightly off camera. That's the best kind of profile picture to post. 4 to 5 other pictures of them in their element, painting a picture about who they are. Not 3 selfies in the same pose, not 3 posed pictures that were taken by some professional photographer. Which you can have one of those on there, totally. And like, it's really just, you're showing who you are and what a woman can be a part of. So that's what you got to put out online. And then for now, like right now, I think a lot of people are putting their Myers-Briggs types. That's a huge trend. That's happening.
What?
It was like the number one. They're Myers-Briggs type. So
I'm not sure what
personality
that is.
Type.
Oh, really?
Like, Dre, you know
somebody
about that?
Wrote a
ENFJ.
Book.
Yeah, some more over
the- yeah, well, it was considered the number one term on OkCupid. They did a study saying that it was the number one term used in people's profiles.
Dre, like, do you know about this? What it is? What is it? Explain what it is.
They put like a personality category. They categorize themselves with personality indicators to let people know where they fall on a list.
So kind of like when people talk about I'm an A type personality, but it's a different.
Exactly. I think it's foolish. Yeah. I don't think it really.
I kind of agree with you, to be honest, but there's like a whole science behind it. But I don't know if that's actually going to deter you from actually partnering up with good people, because people may interpret it incorrectly. So I kind of agree with you on that. People are now putting whether they're vaccinated or not, like those are huge things.
That's
as well.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Wow,
but
that makes sense though.
But yeah, I mean, those are the trends that I'm seeing in profiles. But mainly what happens when women go online, no matter what age they are, they look at their picture first. They do not care about the profile. If they're not attracted, they swipe left. If they're kind of attracted, they swipe right. Or if they're really attracted, they swipe right. And if they're really attracted, then they will go and look deeper into their profile and see more about that person. And then it doesn't even matter if a woman's attracted to you and you guys do match. You have the next stage, which is actually starting the conversation, which is challenging for a lot of guys. And if you're saying boring, dull things and you're not super hot and attractive, then you're not going to get past that next stage either.
Right. Right. And that it's interesting how the sliding scale happens based on how well you got a six pack and
how good looking you are.
Yeah.
You get a free pass. Oh, you're really hot, but you said hi to me. Okay, I'll talk to you for a little bit longer.
Right.
But
right.
Somebody who's like not as hot, you're like, no, hi. Right. Who says that?
Right.
I mean,
right.
But that's also the way
what
it works
about
in real
Europe?
Life.
Europe.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah. Andre would get away with Europe.
I'll put year with Matt like seven R's in that shit.
But you know why? You know,
but that's different.
But it's also very honest about who he is. Like if you put seven R's, like four R's is reasonable. Seven R's,
right?
Seven R's is absurd.
Too much. It says
and what it says is I don't give a fuck how many R's. I'll use all the R's. I don't care what you think about my R's. And then she goes, "Wow, he's confident because he uses seven R's."
All of this is going on. That's crazy. Huh? Just having me a good old time.
And that's the point. But the point is because you're so comfortable in your skin. I used to tell dudes when they would, you know, like they would, what you call it? I remember I was talking to Andrew Schultz and he was like, how do you pick up girls? I go, he's already kind of, you know, he always had some fame. I go, just go and slide in the DM and put a question mark. Just like bang. And she goes, looks at your picture, finds you attractive, and she goes, like, what? What is that? What? I mean, hey, I don't. And you're like, oh, I got you. You're already showing that level of interest, you know?
I like that.
Yeah. let's wrap up real quick.
Yeah,
and
let's
then,
go over to the Patreon.
Like, can you plug all your stuff first, and then we're gonna go behind the Patreon and
yeah, of course. If people want to find out more about me, they can go to winggirlmethod.com. I have a program called the F Formula, which teaches guys the three phases of escalation for flirting. So how to flirt with any woman they want to. So go to theflirtmethod.com. Yeah.
And maybe on Patreon, you can let us know a little bit, maybe one or two of those insights into flirting for guys if they follow us over there at Patreon. And also, I want to ask you a question about the mistakes women make over there, too. I'd like to get the other end, the other perspective, too.
I want to also talk
about that.
I really want to say I really enjoyed this conversation because one of the things there's a lot of people who do this pickup thing. And I always feel like the pickup thing is it's gimmicky. It's like, and I'm not saying it doesn't work. Not, you know, they body language.
I have same opinion.
But but it's unsustainable.
Not sustainable
because if you think you ain't shit.
Well, it's a facade.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. Like,
I mean,
you ain't shit,
but now you're wearing a goofy top hat.
I will say I have been picked up by the top pickup artists in the world and interacted with all of them. I've been voted the number one female pickup artist in the world several times in the past. So that was my world for a short period of time, even though I'm not a pickup artist. And I will say many of them have the confidence to back up their routines. Many of them do not.
Yeah, really.
I would say more of them.
Have you ever dealt with, let's talk about this.
Let's talk about it on the
Patreon.
What's
your Instagram or whatever you want to prompt that to or no?
At Wing Girl Method. But my YouTube's the most popular. Okay. Tons of videos on there. So just look for Wing Girl. You'll find me.
Jizzle.
Your slouch theory. Andre D. Thompson. Don't touch rabbits.
I don't know what that means, but okay. Harry, talk to me.
You can go to my stuff is at Harry Turjanian, and also just follow my YouTube channel and follow us over on the Man School stuff at Instagram and TikTok, and most importantly, the Patreon. Sign up for the Patreon where we do exclusive stuff like this. We're going to get into some more cool stuff with Marnie over here behind the paywall, patreon.com/manschool202. And I also think I'm on an episode of Andre's podcast. Did that come out yet, Andre, or no?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you didn't. I wish you told me so I could let other people know, but not that it matters. It's a silly ass conversation. I had the most fun doing that conversation with Andre. And we found out that technically I'm Asian. So go over there and find out for yourself a slouch theory with myself and Andre.
I got to do mine too, Jay. Stop playing. everything me, Dante Nero, D-A-N-T-E-N-E-R-O. You can get me on social media, Instagram, The Dante Nero. If you want a consultation, to go to DanteNero.com. Click on consult. You can get me there. Everything's there. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted. Yo, I love y'all. Thank you. Don't forget to sign up for the Patreon. Support us so we can keep doing this. Thank you so much. We are out. Manschool 202 is created by Dante Nero. Hosted by Dante Nero with Harry Turjanian and Andre D. Thompson. Produced by Harry Turjanian. Executive producers Matt Kleinschmidt, Harry Turjanian, and Dante Nero.